Greetings and salutations, the Agile Revolution at Yow.
We are another one of our patented Vox Pops.
Yeah, Tony here and Craig here.
We were the original, well maybe not, but still.
Yes, and it's been going really well, Craig.
There's people here, Tony, that's all I can say.
That's all you can say.
All right, let's make a beeline, see if we can talk to some people.
And I can see a very good person there, but that'd be Woody Zuhl, wouldn't it?
Would be.
See, here we go, right here.
Agile Revolution, Woody Zuhl and Paul Rayner.
Woohoo! Right.
How you doing? Both people have been, have been on the podcast but haven't been released yet. So
yeah, what's up with
that's
that?
Yeah.
We don't talk about the Spanish Inquisition.
You've got to speak to the cutting room floor.
The bottleneck, you mean.
That's the one.
Anyway, how are you enjoying the conference, guys?
It's great. I'm really enjoying it. Matter of fact, my favorite thing last night was during the sessions, after all the other sessions, and everybody was just talking about stuff.
Oh, you mean beer?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Beer-driven development, the other BDD.
That's it. And your first time to Australia, Woody?
Yeah. This is my first trip. I really appreciate coming here. Everybody's been really friendly. And the topics that everybody's interested are right in alignment with what I'm interested in. So I've really enjoyed that.
And for you, Paul, I mean, you're a Perth native. So.
Yeah, not the first time here.
Yeah, not the first rodeo.
Yeah. I don't know how you meet all the friendly Australians all the time. You know, there are other ones, I guess. But
they see me coming, I guess.
It's been really great. I love Brisbane, and this has been a great conference. I think it's very different in flavour from the Melbourne one in some ways. So it's been nice to have maybe a slightly smaller attendance and chance to connect with people. Chance to go to some different sessions and learn some new things. Like I got to attend Woody's talk yesterday, so that was really great.
The mob programming, I was very lucky to have introduced you for that.
Oh, yeah,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was actually quite good. So the difference between the audiences from Melbourne and here, it was a little more subdued. But on the other hand, all the same questions. So it's like, you know, it's a mob programming is a topic that piques people's interest, but there's a lot to understand about it. So before you can say, oh, I get it, you know, there's some things you got to know.
What I really love was watching the tweets and even watching people's reactions. I was watching people out here and they're going, oh, program, that sounds stupid. And then the same people are kind of later going, I want to go back to work and try that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that 40 minutes, you're able to flip people around somehow.
It was interesting as they were coming out, because I obviously being the track host there, I was listening, and as they were coming out, there was a stream of people going, you know, that actually makes sense, or we could do that, or it wasn't that hard. And
yeah,
it was
well,
like,
Woody's got this trick that he does in his talk that I noticed is he'll ask the audience, I don't know what the question you asked was, but you're actually getting the audience to tell you why it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, because I kind of asked them.
That's brilliant.
I want them to imagine why it might be a good idea, you know, because a lot of times it's really easy to say, well, that can't work. But what if you try to think about what could be good about it? It kind of changes the approach a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that was very clever.
But what I found is no matter where I go at conferences, and I get a chance to set up somewhere, I'll always get people who want to come try it. So all it takes is two or three, and pretty soon you got a crowd, because it's just like on a playground. You see some kids over there having fun, a bunch of kids over here not having fun. You gravitate towards the kids having fun, because there's a chance that they found something you're going to be interested in.
Yeah, that's
sort of how I think of it anyways.
That's cool.
What about event storming? What's the interest you're getting from people here? Because, I mean, mob programming's kind of been around for a while. I think people knew it but didn't know what it was. Event storming is one of those things that...
Just a few years now. So it was interesting because I asked at the start of my session yesterday how many people have heard of it. And it was, you know, maybe 20, 30% of the crowd, which surprised me. But a lot of questions being asked. And really, in 45 minutes, I can only give, like, just a bit of hand-waving. Like, here's what it is and here's what I've seen in my experience and... A lot of interest from people.
I'm doing my workshop for a day.
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? But it was interesting. Someone on Twitter connected Woody's talk with mine in terms of being, you know, these are both kind of approaches that optimize for learning, and that was something that we had talked about yesterday.
Mob event storming programming.
No. Well, I could see a team doing mob programming saying, okay, let's do a bit of event storming for half an hour and figure this out, and then let's come back. That would be a very natural thing, just like any other kind of design modeling technique.
Well, you've got the people there, right? The right people are already in the mob. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Wisdom of the crowd.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's been good. I feel like I've had a good response, and I'm just trying to raise awareness and get people to consider the technique, and then we'll see what happens over the coming years in terms of seeing what kind of benefits people get out of it, because I find it fun, and hopefully they will too.
Excellent. Well, thanks, guys, for flying the Agile flag at Yow. Enjoy the rest of your time.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks. All right.
So Tony, what's a highlight for you?
The highlight word, I'd have to say Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob was pretty good. And Woody. Woody was actually a really exceptional talk. Mm. I must say, I might have been in that camp was going, mob programming, can that work? But I have to say, when you listen to it, it actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Both of Bob's were brilliant. I love his science questions at the beginning, just for a bit of fun to get people going. But
what was his science question in the estimates talk?
The speed of light. He wanted to know what the speed of light was and how you actually measured it. He gave us a lesson on how Galileo actually started to try to measure it with his pulse, but figured out it was too bloody fast.
Hey, here's someone I want to... It's gone right here, right now.
Yeah, right here, right now. Don't run away.
Agile Revolution Podcast. How are you doing, Laura Bell?
I'm good. How are you doing?
So your talk here is about security at the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm telling people to start looking between where we're making things really simple, where it's hiding complexity, and where security lives in that tangled mess.
Mm-hmm. And do you find people... When they come to a talk like that, or even when they come to see you, because you talk all over the place, is it that sort of that interest, that intrigue maybe that's dragging them in?
So I've had some adorable feedback at this conference where somebody said that it was a really amazing talk. It was like watching a horror movie. I couldn't look away. So I think I get described as the nicest scary person that most people know, so I can live with that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that.
And Your company is actually doing some pretty interesting stuff over there in New Zealand. So give us a plug for the company.
Oh, okay. So I run SafeStack, which is an agile security firm. We work with 55 customers in 7 countries, and we help people go really, really, really fast and survive while they're doing it.
So what does agile security actually mean?
It means splitting up security into teeny, tiny, little bite-sized chunks and weaving it through every single bit of what you're doing so that it isn't a big, scary, expensive thing at the end. It's just something you do every single day.
Just treating it like you would testing or...
Or performance or scaling or UX. We don't need to be a special snowflake anymore. We're actually okay being part of what everyone does every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because security is one of those things. It's a bit like reporting, right? It's always someone goes at the end, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't build it in. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to build it in. You can't chuck it on the end.
Yeah, you do it at the end and you're in for a world of pain and it gets very, very expensive. So I want that to not be a thing anymore.
Yeah. Or they learn their value, the inbound valuable lesson, whichever one. When it gets to production.
I wish we were learning that lesson, but actually what we're seeing is people fail at that lesson time and time again. So, you know, but I'm a dreamer. I'm a naive optimist, so hopefully we'll change that.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
It's been great having you at the conference. Great
awesome.
To speak to you.
Yeah,
thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
All right, I see another speaker over here. Let's run over this way. Hey, John.
Hello.
John and Tony from the Agile Revolution podcast. We're just wandering around in the corridor. So you were a speaker here at the conference?
Yes.
Yeah, so you were talking about data and eyeballing it?
Yes.
So what was the premise of the talk?
So what I hope is that people will say, oh, this is completely obvious, and oh, damn, I haven't been doing it. the idea is that if you actually look at your data as a window into what's going on in the world out there, you can look at it a different way and you'll see stuff that you never imagined. And even if you did it when you first looked at your data, quite likely you've gotten complacent and you've stopped looking at it and there's more stuff going on that you don't know about. So the guy that introduced me in Melbourne came up afterwards and said, oh yeah, we looked at our data, but that was 2 years ago. And we haven't looked at it since, and our two new guys have never looked at it, and next week we'll go look again. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, if you got one person, right, it was worth the trouble. Why do you think people don't look at their data? Just time, is it?
That's a good question. I think in school, the professor gives us the data, and it's like, okay, I'm supposed to work with it, right? And we're programmers. We're living above the data. You know, our programs deal with that mucky stuff. We aren't actually doing it. But whenever I've actually looked, almost always, you know, is something changed. As I said, there's three things that can happen when you look at the data. Possibility one is exactly what you expected. And if that is the case, it means you sacrificed your goat to the data gods yesterday because there's no other reason that would happen. Possibility two is you discover your data is broken, right? And there's a great talk on practicalities of machine learning, and they mention a lot of ways that it needs to be broken. And possibility three is your data is telling you something about the world out there that you just hadn't possibly imagined was going on. And the web is weirder than you can imagine. The users are weirder than you can imagine. Just look at examples of a few users. Do a little programming to make that better. And it will change how you analyze it, what you do with it. That's my experience.
Do you think it's one of those things that as practitioners, I guess, and as we become going faster and more agile techniques, that we're not using data in the same way that we would go talk to users or we would go do analysis? Is it that now because data is, we've got so much of it and it does actually tell us a story that people just haven't realized how valuable it is?
I think that might be. I think another thing that happens is when we have metrics, we optimize for the metric and we think we don't need to look at the data, right?
Yeah.
But what the metric is, metrics are always flawed and imperfect. And if you want to know a metric is bad, there's two things. Either give it to your sales force or give it to your machine learning algorithm and they'll find a way to mess with what's going on. But we get complacent, we think of a metric, we optimize for the metric, and we forget to look through what's that actually mean in the world, right? You're counting trees instead of actually looking at the forest. And there's also stuff going in the forest that actually matters, as opposed to just the number of trees.
The thing on that is that because these, especially in the enterprise, right, they have the word data lake just tells you, right, there is so much data that they probably haven't thought about how best to actually look at it. That's the issue I think find with a lot.
I think that's a piece of the issue. But what I'm advocating is, I don't care how much you've got, right? At Google, I had 1 trillion queries.
Yeah.
Look at 5 of them. And one of them will surprise you, guaranteed. And then that will give you ideas for how to change things, your analysis, you know. Maybe you want to gather different data about this stuff. Just look at a few examples. The statistics give you a very coarse view of a whole lot bunch of stuff. Get a nuanced contextual view of a few things, and you discover all sorts of stuff going on that you hadn't imagined. So.
Well, it's been great having you out for the conference.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for taking time talking to us.
All right.
Thank you.
Cheers.
You guys were good.
Oh, thank you.
what did he say, Tony?
He said, you guys are good.
Excellent. People can't get the concept that we just keep rolling because we're just too lazy to edit anything.
That's it. We one take Johnny's. We never edit anything out except for we may put an occasional noise filter when there's a expletive or something.
Yeah, we have to bleep some things out. But other than that, all looking good. So 600 odd people here, right, in Brisbane, 800 plus in Melbourne, and another 600 odd in Sydney. So it is a big conference.
I'm going to turn this around on you, Craig. So while you've got the microphone, I'm going to vox pop you. I've been dying to do this. Why is Yow becoming so successful? What was the tipping point? Because I remember Yow when it started, right? And it was really propellerhead city. And I'm not going to lie about that. We used to come to it. And
it still is propellerhead city.
Yeah, but it's much wider. It's jumped the shark now. Tell me about it.
I just think in the last few years, it's just technology's got that much more important. Like, we aren't the people in the back room anymore. It has been important for the last 15, 16 years, but...
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, Andrea, Agile Revolution Podcast, Craig and Tony, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So Tony's a fanboy. He was
I was in your session, I was keen to get you on the podcast, but firstly, I don't know if I can keep up with you. You're fast.
I do talk quickly.
That was a great session, and if I got nothing else out of that, it was actually, you know, thinking about how you manipulate that data. Just at the base levels, small thoughts.
A lot of it is so simple. Like, most of what I do is count things and divide things. I'm not doing fancy clustering and so on, but it's so insightful for what's going on.
Yeah, it was a very interesting story for Pinterest, and it was very good. Yeah.
And applying techniques to data, A/B testing, for example, which is something that I've just never... I should have considered, but never have considered.
So, A/B testing is probably my favorite thing. Like, if I had to try to convince people to do one thing, it would be actually measuring what you're releasing so you can tell whether it's the right direction or not.
Mm. So have you got a tip for somebody who's, someone listening who hasn't seen the talk or whatever?
I mean, I think the main thing with A/B testing is implementing a simple version of it is really easy. All you need to do is randomize people, which you can do just by hashing, and then write down what happens. And even if you're only writing down one thing, did they sign up or not sign up? That's going to be tremendously valuable. And as you get more sophisticated, you can write down a lot more. But just knowing the outcome and being able to flip a coin and measure that gets you a lot.
Yeah, I like the approach to the spam. That was very good. I liked what you were saying. The way they're dealing with spam is usually aggressive. Whereas the way you took was a whole different filter on that. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I talked about sort of spam filtering, and usually it's a confrontation where every time you block a spammer, they change their tactics, you block them, they change their tactics, and so on. but when you're just doing it to clean up your data, you don't have to deal with that. And so instead of them revealing to them what you're filtering them on, you're just filtering them internally. You can be much more aggressive because you're not actually hurting user behavior, and you also can be more straightforward in your rules because it's not this combative situation.
Mm. Yeah, it was brilliant. I liked that greatly. So what's been the highlight of the conference for you personally?
I mean, honestly, for me, it's my first chance to see Brisbane. It's only my second time in Australia, so just getting a sense of where we are has been great. Meeting the other speakers is a lot of fun. And then once people get to know me after my session, I get to chat with the attendees a bit and sort of hear about the problems they have and hear about the industries and so on.
Well, that's brilliant. And you're going to get a chance to go around and have a look at a little bit of Brisbane? Or?
Oh, so I did the bike share in Brisbane and went along the river, which was really awesome. Got caught in the thunderstorm, got a little bit soaked. No, Brisbane is lovely.
Well, she's an honorary Brisbaneite now.
We make you honorary.
Yeah, if you get caught in a storm, that makes you a local.
If you've drunk our beer, then you're home.
Absolutely. Well, it's been great having you out here in the country, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Here we go, finally got to her. So let's see, who else can we find?
Oh,
people are just looking at us weird now.
There's a bunch of little Suncorp people here.
What do we want to talk to them for?
Sure, I don't know, but they're looking at us really strangely, so we should do it, right? Come on over. Hey, hi guys.
Hi.
Tony and Craig from the Agile Revolution podcast. We're just doing some odd, what we call the Vox Pops. We are the original Vox Pops boys. How's the conference been for you? And I'm not going to go with the name, there's a whole bunch here. Just yell out your name and how's the conference been and what was the highlight?
I'm Rob. The conference was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. If not same quality, if not high, it's pretty as the same quality as last year. And the highlight was, quite a few of the talks. Oh, seeing Declan. And seeing Craig.
You can't see yourself, Declan. What was your highlight?
Looking in the mirror. The highlight for me, I think, was Dr. Little's talk last night. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Not about tech, but about people, which is far more important. So
extrovert, I'm sure?
Not at all. I scored 30. Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell anyone. I'm an outgoing introvert.
A pseudo extrovert.
What about yourself?
I'm an outgoing introvert.
Well, I'm Dan. I'm volunteering at this fantastic event. I really enjoyed yesterday's keynote talk with Professor Brian Little. I also really enjoyed Uncle Bob's talks. Very entertaining.
Favorites,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it like? And being a volunteer, like, I think something we don't talk about a lot at tech conferences. But what's that kind of mean to you as someone who's obviously still yet to make their way in tech? Do you know any of these names, or are you? Way to learn who these people are?
Yeah, for me it's a way to learn who they are, because you don't really get much exposure, even like in university. They don't really talk about all these like cool big names. It's kind of stuff you learn outside. So I have a few people to check out because they just had some very interesting talks. And it's great being a volunteer because you get to float around in all the different kind of places, so it's good.
Excellent.
And let's face it, you get to work with Craig.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be a downside there.
My name's Brayden. I think the best thing that I've enjoyed so far is probably, I've forgotten her name, the lady from Pinterest.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were just talking to her a minute ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Really enjoyed her presentation. I mean, I don't think she speaks too fast. That's a good pace.
That was the speed of light,
yeah.
My friend.
Keeps me occupied for the whole...
Speed of time.
Yeah. It was really good. But also the Dr. Little's presentation, I also enjoyed that as well.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And the food's been great as well.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Craig. The food's been good.
And last but not least?
Oh, yeah, I'm Hamed. And today actually my first day. Yeah, I missed yesterday's talk. So, yeah, and so far so good. Yeah, actually my favorite one was the big data for, who was that?
Pinterest one?
Oh, yeah.
Pinterest.
Andrew, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
that
was really broad, and I actually like the way that they've done so far in their company. So, yeah, pretty good.
Cool, awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
And Tony, that's about a wrap for us, because bell's gone, and I've got to run to another room.
The end of another yell.
Yeah, so box popping again.
Well, Craig, it's been a pleasure. There's only one thing left to say.
Beaver?
Revolution.
Revolution. See you, mate.
Bye.